church Bible, which you all have access to. It's on page 1180. Philippians then, and chapter 4, just a few verses, and to read from verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. We're going to turn to a time of prayer again now, but we're going to be focusing on two verses, verse 6 and verse 7. Many of us will have watched that army in days gone by. For some of us, it may be a favourite programme, I don't know. But for those who've never watched it, it's a comedy programme about a group of Home Guard soldiers during the Second World War. And there's one particular person or character, Corporal Jones, who whenever the group gets themselves into a bit of a muddle, seems to become quite anxious and panicking. And his classic line is, "Don't panic, Mr. Marion." Mr. Marion being the captain and the one in charge of this little group of Home Guard soldiers. But it's so clear to everybody watching that when he says, "Don't panic, Mr. Mandarin," he's clearly in a state of panic or anxiety himself. That's just the kind of character he is. But we all know, don't we, what it is to worry or to be anxious. We can be anxious about many things. As I said before, Jesus might be able to lie down fast asleep in the back of a boat in the midst of a raging storm, trusting completely in his heavenly Father. But you and I tend to be more like the disciples, who are worried and fearful for their lives. Too often in life we are robbed of our peace by worry, anxiety, and stress. And sometimes we can get very down and depressed by worrying about all the challenges and circumstances of life. Perhaps things that might happen in the coming days. Now, of course, we all want to avoid worry or anxiety because we know that it is sinful and demonstrates a lack of trust in God. What we really want to be able to do as Christians is to live a victorious life. To rise above, as it were, all the troubles and cares of this life. Knowing peace. God's peace. It's so often, as I say, we find ourselves overwhelmed by the worries of life. I think that is why these two verses of Scripture are so helpful, so encouraging for us. Now, I preached on these verses before at Robin Hill Baptist Church. I think I may have preached on them more than once. And I know there's at least one person in the congregation that takes notes of all the sermons that get preached. And so that I don't end up repeating myself too much, I resolved this week that I wouldn't look at any of my previous notes or past sermons that I preach in order that this one might be as fresh as possible, and that perhaps by God's grace, a few things will be brought out. It's one of these verses that I haven't brought out before. What then must we do to avoid anxiety? As Paul writes these verses, it seems, doesn't it, that he believes that anxiety is something that can be avoided. Look at what he writes at the beginning of verse 6, do not be anxious about anything. It's almost as if he's saying that look, whatever you meet within life, it is possible to know God's peace, to not be anxious. You say, well, it's easy to write things like this. It's much more difficult to live out things like this. But please bear in mind that he was a man that was in prison, waiting to see what the authorities would say. He's really at the end of his life. And it may be that just around the corner, going to be sentenced to death. And it's worth considering, I think, as well, that the life that he lived, he has experienced beatings and floggings and imprisonments. He's been shipwrecked. He's encountered numerous difficulties. It's this man who says to us this morning, do not be anxious about anything. So what must we do to avoid anxiety? Sometimes I think it's good for us to think firstly about what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, stop worrying, pull yourself together. But whether anybody has ever said something like that to you in the past, it's not always that helpful, is it? Because when you've got something on your mind and it's causing you to be anxious, in fact, your mind is racing, how do you pull yourself together? The worry, the anxiety, it has a hold of you, doesn't it? I know sometimes if Joanne or Lenny go out and they arrive back home late, well, I can't help but worry. What's happened to them? Why are they late home? He doesn't say stop worrying, pull yourself together. Neither does he say stop worrying, it might not happen. You know why he says, doesn't say stop worrying, it might not happen? Because it might happen. I mean, Paul is not in control, is he, of life's circumstances. God is in control of life's circumstances. Neither does he say stop worrying, it's a waste of time. Yeah, that doesn't really help, does it? I mean, we know that worry can lead us to waste endless amounts of time. I mean, what do we achieve when we lie awake at night worrying about something that may actually never happen? Sometimes during the day we can worry, we spend so much time worrying about things that we don't actually get on with the things that need to be done. But saying stop worrying it might not happen, or stop worrying it is a waste of time, is not actually that helpful, is it? Neither does he say stop worrying, you'll be alright. You know, this is something I have to confess that I do see people sometimes. I said to my wife, I said to them, sometimes I said to myself, stop worrying, you'll be alright. But again, that doesn't really help. You can't promise that, actually, either, can you? I mean, we hope that things will work out all right, but sometimes things don't work out all right. Problems do occur, and sometimes they get worse rather than better. So what does Paul say? He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. In short, get on your knees and pray to God. Now let's take a few moments to think carefully about what he says to you. You see, he's not just being wordy. Paul hasn't sat down and said to himself, well, I need to write a letter to the Philippians, but to make it worthwhile sending, I'll make it a reasonable length. I sometimes think a bit like that when I'm writing a letter. It's got to be a reasonable length in order for it to be worth sending. But Paul is not simply being wordy. He's thought carefully about his words. And I would argue that his words were determined by the Spirit of God. All Scripture is God-breathed or inspired by God. He's not just saying prayer, he's saying more than that. Friends, when we bring our requests to God so that we might know his peace, we are to do so in the way that Paul lays out for us here in verse 6. Firstly, we are to bring our requests to God by means of prayer. That is worshipfully. You see, this is a general term for worship and adoration. We mustn't simply rush into God's presence, simply bringing our requests to him. No, we are to make sure that we adore him. We are to remind ourselves of who he is and praise him for who he is. What might we praise him for? Well, what about his sovereignty? His sovereignty over our lives, our going out and our coming in. But what about praising him for his love and concern for us as his children? We know, don't we, from our reading of the Gospels, that not a sparrow falls to the ground without God knowing about it. And we as God's children are much more valuable to God than many sparrows. What about praising him for his power? His power over our present and future circumstance. Do you see what happens when we begin to praise God as we make our requests to him? We encourage ourselves to trust in him in the midst of whatever it is that we are worrying about. It's good, isn't it, to focus our eyes upon God. Peter, as he walked on the water towards Jesus. When his eyes were fixed on Jesus and all that Jesus was, he was able to walk on the water, but the moment he took his eyes on Jesus and began to focus upon the wind and the waves, he began to sink. And so often what happens, isn't it, in our lives, when we take our eyes on the Lord? Do you remember what the psalmist did whenever he encountered difficulties of one kind or another? He looked up to the hills, because that's where his help came from. Not just any hills, but the hills upon which the temple of God was situated. In other words, he looked up to God, mindful that his help and his strength came from the Lord. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? He asked. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So we are to make our requests, firstly, by prayer, by worshipping God, and reminding ourselves of who he is. And then by petition. Now in Luke chapter 5, we read about a man who had leprosy that came to Jesus. And when he came to Jesus, he fell down upon the ground with his face to the ground. He begged Jesus. He pleaded with Jesus to make him clean. Now the word in Luke 5 that I've just emphasized is the same word that's used here in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. We are to come before God, longing for God, pleading with God, appealing to God to help us not to be anxious and to know his peace. So we are to come by prayer and petition And perhaps most importantly of all, with thanksgiving as we present our requests to God. Kind of things might we give thanks to God for as we come to Him in prayer? Well, here are a few things that we might consider. But the fact that God is with us all of the time and will never leave us or forsake us. Whatever troubles we go through, God is right there with us. What about the fact that He listens to our prayers? Problems are not eternal. Or that He is powerful enough to solve them when the time is right and in a way that He deems best. But to come to God with thanksgiving, thanking Him perhaps that our problems or our problems are not worse than they are. And that He will give us grace to cope. We can come to God thanking Him that we are learning to trust Him more and more through the difficult circumstance. Or that He is in control. Or that He sent His Son Jesus to die for us because He loves us. Or we can thank God that He's coming again to free us from all evil. There are so many things on there that we can thank God for as we come before Him here. But I think praying with thanksgiving is really, really important for three reasons. Firstly, I think it will highlight whether we are praying to God with sincerity. It will highlight whether or not we are praying to God with sincerity. We won't turn to it now, but in Hebrews chapter 10, the writer of the epistle tells us that we should pray to God with sincerity. It's difficult, isn't it, to pray to God with sincerity when we're holding on to a grudge? Or we're angry with God for some reason? But perhaps because He has allowed certain circumstances to come our way in life. I'm sure that's been your experience. You try to pray to God with thanksgiving, but you find it difficult because you're really angry with God. We're holding a grudge against God. Praying with thanksgiving is really important because, as I say, it highlights whether we are praying to God with sincerity. I think it also highlights whether we really believe that God is good and wants what's best for His children. See, faith is really important when we pray. We must believe that God is able and willing to give what we ask for. In James 1, verses 5 to 7, we read these words. If any of you lacks wisdom, and I think we could use the word peace here instead of the word wisdom. If any of you lacks peace, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. But when we come before God in prayer, we're asking Him for things, particularly for His peace, do we believe that He's a good God? And that He's willing and able to give it to us. We must ask in faith. Praying with thanksgiving is really important. The last reason I would give is this, that praying with thanksgiving will encourage us in our petitioning of God. You see, when we come before God with thanksgiving, quite often we're thanking God, aren't we, for the things that He has done for us in the past. And when we remind ourselves of things that God has done for us in the past, it encourages us to pray confidently to Him in the present. He's met our need in the past. He will surely meet our need
again in the present. So here is an encouragement from the Apostle Paul to pray to God when we are anxious or worried about things. I think there is the danger sometimes for us to say to ourselves, I think I can make my way through this on my own. Maybe sometimes we can, because we do have a strength, perhaps a strength that others don't have. But I suppose I would pose the question, or put the question for, how long can we carry on in our own strength before it begins to have some kind of negative effect upon us, particularly our health? I'm sure that none of us need to be told this morning that one of the main reasons in our country for poor health is stress, is worry. It's anxiety. I think one dangerous thing that we can do and may opt to do is to suppress our feelings of anxiety. And I'm told by an expert, someone more able than me, that strong-minded people are able to do this. But I'm also told by an expert that whilst we can consciously suppress our worries, we can still unconsciously worry. The technical term for this is repression. And I'm told that unconscious anxiety or worry will at some point or another catch up with it. So we shouldn't suppress our worries. We shouldn't endeavor to think that we can see our way through the problems and cares of this world on our own. Why? Why would we want to do that? When we can do something so much better, we can take it to the Lord. This is our unique privilege, isn't it? As Christian men and women. What does the song say, or the hymn say? What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not count. So encourage us all this morning to take our burdens, to take our cares and our worries to the Lord in prayer. What is, secondly, the gracious promise that Paul can do this? Verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do you notice here that Paul doesn't mention any particular circumstances that might cause worry? What does he do? I think it's because he knows that God is not so much concerned about our circumstances as he is us. Or as he is you. How we deal with the circumstances that he and his sovereignty allows to come our way. Again, I think it's worth us thinking about what Paul doesn't say in verse 7. He doesn't say, pray and your difficult circumstances will come to an end. God, of course, may bring them to an end. He's able to do that. But they may not, and that's why he doesn't say it. Neither does he say, pray, and as you pray, you'll be able to take all your worries off your mind. I'm not really quite sure why anyone would say that, though, having said that. Because if we are praying about certain things to God, then clearly they are going to be very much upon our minds. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, your God, your heart, and your mind, is in Christ Jesus.
This is a peace, isn't it, that transcends all understanding. In other words, this is a peace that I can't explain this morning. It is a peace that we can't understand. It is only a peace that can be experienced. But I'm sure that many of us here this morning will be able to testify to knowing God's peace. Or at least something of it. I certainly can. Sometimes I do get stressed and overwhelmed about particular circumstances. I think I've got a bit of my mum in me. She tends to be a bit of a worrier. When I find that I'm up against things that I really can't handle, I do, but I'll straight away take them to the Lord in prayer, and I find that He does help me to put things into perspective. He reminds me that He's in control. And He grants me a peace or a calm about the situation. I can't explain it, but I know it to be true. And how does this peace come to us? Well, it comes to us even through the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, this peace of God comes to us as God presents Christ to us and reminds us about Him and our relationship to Him. We're Christians this morning, then we're united to Christ. We love by God all that we can ever imagine, and nothing can separate us from His love. And God is working in our lives. We're doing even that for our ultimate good. This peace comes to us as God reminds us of Christ. And our relationship to Him. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Pray. Pray, says Paul. Something wonderful will happen. Something that you can't explain. God will do something. God will grant you His peace, which will guard or garrison your hearts and your minds. In other words, this peace will keep out all the stress and all the anxiety. I want to finish this morning with a little story. It's a story that I found in Dr. Martin Lloyd Jones's sermon on this or these particular verses of scripture. It concerns a man named John Carpenter. John Carpenter actually is the one telling the story. John Carpenter tells the story of how he and his wife's daughter became very ill at typhoid fever. And she was a lovely Christian girl and wanted to go on to the mission field to serve the Lord. She became very, very ill. Of course, they began to pray. But John and Mrs. Carpenter somehow felt, although they couldn't explain it, that they could not pray for the child's recovery. They went on praying, but their prayer was, "Thou canst heal her if thou wilt." They could not positively ask God to heal her, only, "Thou canst heal her if thou wilt." They could get no further. They went on like this for 6 weeks, before their beautiful girl died. The very morning she died, John Carpenter said to Mrs. Carpenter, "You know, I am aware of a strange and curious calm within." And Mrs. Carpenter replied and said, "I feel exactly the same." And she said to him, "This must be the peace of God." And it was the peace of God. It was the peace of God keeping the heart and the mind quiet, in the sense that it could not upset the person. Maybe after the service, you could share testimony with one another as to how you have known the peace of God
in the midst of trying and troubling circumstances. Friends, do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, we're covering every situation, isn't it? By prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know, there's one question that I would like to ask the Apostle Paul this morning, because he's not around on earth anymore, he's gone to heaven. But my question would be, Paul, you're sitting in your prison cell, bound in chains. It's possible that the authorities will want to put you to death. And your execution may not be a very pleasant one. Paul, do you know this peace that you've been talking about? Do you know the peace of God that passes all understanding? Are you resting in the goodness of God? What do you think he would say? I suspect he would say, Mark, I do know the peace of God that transcends or surpasses understanding. And I want you to know it too, in the midst of your circumstances. So here it is, I trust, an encouraging and a helpful word from God to us this day, in order that we might not be anxious and worried and depressed, that we might know the peace of God in whatever situation we find. Let's pray, shall we? And then we'll sing our mind.